I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Time to take KSL Outdoors. This is Utah's most listened to program about hunting, fishing, camping, and high adventure. All the gear you need to buy, where the fish are biting, and secret places in Utah and around the world where you can have a blast. KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
And we welcome you back again to hour number two and the final one for another week of KSL Outdoors Radio. It is a pleasure to have you with us. And with so much happening around the world and in Washington this week, just a reminder that, and thanks, by the way, to ABC and to those in the KSL News Center for getting us up to speed on all of the local and regional news as well. Should there be any breaking information today, we will certainly pass it along with the help of ABC News. And again, we start the hour. Navi not in studio this week, but Russell is here with us. Russ Smith from Sky Call.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Just nothing better to do than hang out on the show this
morning. Isn't that the way it always is on Saturday?
It is, yeah.
No, why else would you come in here if there was nothing better to do?
Well, summer would be to avoid mowing the lawn, but...
Hey, look, I wanted to jump right into our conversation because the Western Hunting and Conservation Expo is arriving in Salt Lake City. And to help us sort it all out, John Baer is with us, who will be acting as the auctioneer. But, John, I need to ask you this question because I looked up a little bit of your background, and it says that you have helped raise over $100 million for wildlife conservation and hunter advocacy issues. Is that true?
That is true.
He's kind of got that auctioneer voice,
yeah, he
doesn't
does.
He? How long you been doing this?
Oh, I think I conducted my first auction about 19 years ago, and I've been doing it ever since. I do more and more of them every year. It seems like I keep thinking I'm going to thin my schedule down a little, but it seems like it gets busier every year, and I've been doing conservation auctions and helping states and conservation organizations raise money for, you know, wildlife habitat and rehabilitation and transplants and hunter advocacy programs now for, yeah, almost 20 years, and it adds up pretty quick.
Well, it gets in your blood. I mean, I'm sure it's still a passion for you. I'm guessing you were a hunter early in your life or no?
Oh, yeah. I grew up in Manti, actually, is my hometown, and my dad is still, at 75 years old, a diehard hunter. He spends every spare minute in the mountains, and that's how I grew up, hunting and fishing and loving the backcountry. And, you know, it's as much of who I am as anything. So
The dates of the expo, by the way, and if you want more information, we'll remind you a couple of times, you can just find it online at huntexpo.com. The dates of the expo this year, February 13th through the 16th at the Salt Palace Convention Center. The big draw is the $5 application fee, I think, for some hunts of a lifetime.
Yeah, they got what we have is we have 200 permits for all different species from here in the state of Utah. You can show up, and for $5, you can apply for each one of those species for $5 each. You know, you could draw a bison tag, a mule deer tag, mountain lions, bears, mountain goats, all about everything we have here. It doesn't affect your bonus points, you know, from the state draw, and it's pretty exciting when the draw results come out, you know, about a week after the expo's over. Everybody jumps on there to see if they drew, see which one of their friends, you know, have drawn, and it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, that answers my next question. I was wondering whether it actually takes place at the expo itself or whether it's afterwards, but I guess you have to have time to put all those together after everybody's come and gone.
Yeah, a third-party contractor is contracted to oversee the drawing. It's all done, you know, it's a computer-generated drawing. They, you know, they have to, of course, have a great track record of protecting everybody's personal information. That's a big part of it. And it takes a few days after the expo closes to get that drawing all put together, to conduct the drawing, to make sure everybody that drew was eligible. And then, you know, once they sort through all that, then they go ahead and post the drawing. The drawing actually takes place down at the Division of Wildlife offices. Anybody that wants to go down there and watch the drawing happen and see how it all works is more than welcome to go down there. It's a couple days after the expo is when that takes place. And then they'll post it and see who the lucky winners are.
Interesting. We're having this conversation today because in our first hour, coming up in, what, about 10 minutes or so, I'm going to share a conversation that another one of our hosts here at KSL had this past week with Rob Bishop, who is one of our representatives back in Washington, on the heels of a story I think came out of the Washington Post that was talking about this national trend of hunting on the decline, even though that's not the case here in Utah, but across the country, hunting being on the decline and the impacts that that is having on endangered species because of the lack of funds that are going into conservation these days.
You know, I'll tell you, it's pretty exciting when you look around the state of Utah, because we do more conservation work, more habitat work than pretty much the rest of the country put together. If you add up the acres, it's really impressive. Now, we have struggles with our deer herd, just like everybody does. You know, this last year's deer hunt wasn't the best, but we're anxiously engaged with the Division of Wildlife to see what we can do to turn that around. We have a great state agency. So, yeah, hunting's alive and well here in the state of Utah. And, you know, one of the things with the expo, one thing we try to do is you know, provide a good setting where people can bring their kids, bring their family, their friends, whoever it is, and see about every aspect of, you know, the hunting world, the hunting community. If you want to go to Africa, if you want to, you know, hunt Alaska, South America, we have outfitters from all over the world there. We have all kinds of gun makers, all kinds of you know, boot companies, outdoor gear, all the big camo companies will be there. And that's what's really fun about the expo, is any interest you have in the hunting or fishing world, there's something there at the expo, you know, for you. There's all kinds of taxidermy work, and, you know, it's fun to see the whole country, the whole world, really, come to Utah and celebrate our hunting heritage and our hunting tradition.
Yeah. We talked about some of these numbers in our news of the week, but just to reiterate the numbers that were sort of spawned this conversation earlier this week on Live Mike with Lee Lonsbury, we're dating back to 2016, and it reported that 11.5 million people hunted in the U.S., which was 2 million less than 5 years ago, half of what it was 50 years ago. And I guess the most disturbing part was only 11% of hunters were ages 16 to 24, so the next generation, which causes even more concern.
Yeah, you know, and that is a concern. That's definitely, you know, that's definitely a concern. We got to get our youth involved. We got to get our kids involved. I have three kids that like to hunt. They love the outdoors. They like to hunt. They're not as diehard and as passionate about it, I feel like, as I was at their age. They're, you know, it's a different time. And if we want hunting and conservation and we want the benefits that we know hunting brings to wildlife to continue, we have to find ways to get our youth involved. I feel like we've done a real good job with that at the expo. We have all kinds of youth initiatives, the youth archery that goes on there. You know, we give discounts to people to bring their kids. And here in Utah, we try really hard to have programs that will get our kids involved. We have youth pheasant hunts. We have youth turkey hunts. You know, for years we had deer tags set aside for the youth. And, about anything we could do to get kids outdoors, to get them hunting and fishing. You know, we've tried to do that here in the state of Utah.
Well, and it's done in an entertaining way, which, you know, brings another reason why these kinds of expos are important, because everybody can get together with, I always say, like-minded people and share stories and enjoy each other's company, but also do it in a fun way. And entertainment's a big part of this. I noticed that Little Texas is actually going to be coming in to perform on Thursday night. Chris Jansen's going to take the stage Saturday night for a live performance. And if you're looking for high-profile people to come and be keynote speakers, the U.S. Interior Secretary David Bernhardt's a pretty big name.
You know, I'm really excited for the concerts. That's always a fun time. They usually come on right after, you know, I do the auctions on stage. And so I have their managers, you know, back there stomping, telling me to hurry up. It's time for the concert. and when you have the Secretary of the Interior, you know, that is one of the busiest people on the planet, show up to your event and speak at your event, it says a lot about, you know, what people think about us across the country, that the event that we're putting on here is a pretty big deal, and it really is an honor to have people like that here.
Yeah.
To speak to us, to help educate us, and to see what's going on out here, and to see what we're doing. And then when the time comes back in Washington where we need help with, you know, a watershed initiative or anything like that, you know, habitat initiative, whatever it is, it's always good to have those kind of people be aware of what we're doing out here.
Boy, and inspirational stuff, too. Russ, you would love this. The Friday night keynote speaker will be U.S. Navy SEAL Lieutenant Commander Jack Carr, who is the author of several books, I think, but has spent a lot of time, obviously, out there defending the country and has some stories to tell about things he's learned out there, you know, trying to keep himself alive in even tougher conditions than just chasing a big game somewhere. But that'll be happening on Friday night.
Those are the hardest lessons.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting to stand around backstage a little bit and get to talk to some of those people. You know, I've talked to Marcus Luttrell, Oz Geist, a lot of true American heroes that have come and spoke at the expo. And, you know, before they go on, a few of us, you know, we stand around backstage and get to talk to those guys. A couple of years ago, I had the great opportunity to have a pretty personal conversation with Ted Nugent backstage. That is something I'll never forget, I tell you.
And you two together would be something to listen to, I think.
Oh, man, yeah, I tell you, he went out and played the anthem on his guitar, and that was something. That was a lot of fun.
Well, there's over 700 exhibitors that will be on display this year, and your chance to buy those $5 tags or get your name in on them anyway for the drawing. Registration is now open for all things, and so many great sponsors, Les Schwab Tires, Sportsman's Warehouse, Toyota's on board, Cabela's, Shields. And I believe there's also an opportunity to go on that site, Hunt Expo, and get a $10 discount on your tickets.
Yeah, you can go to huntexpo.com. You can get a discount ticket. You can go into Les Schwab, Cabela's, Shields, like you said, Sportsman's Warehouse. They'll have discount tickets there, get you half off on your tickets. You know, get online and apply for all your hunts, and then you have to come down and validate in person. Just show them your ID and hand them your receipt that you print off and, you know, or on your phone. And they'll validate you in person, and then we all sit by the computer anxiously awaiting the results of the draw in 2 weeks. So it's a good time.
Yeah, it's been great catching up with you, John, and getting to know you a little bit. If you were auctioning off 200 permits right now, what would that sound like?
Well, I'd probably, you know, the funnest permit I think I've ever sold is the Antelope Island tag a couple of years ago for $400,000. Oh, we started off at about $200,000. It'd probably start off 200, now I would get 10, now I would about a nav to get 20, now 30, now 40, now 50, 50, 60, 60, 70, now I would about a nav to get 80, now 90, now I would get 300. Just go on up the ladder.
My gosh, I don't know if I could get $200,000 as a starting price out of my mouth, to be honest with you. We appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
You betcha. Thanks for having me, guys. I hope to see you down at the expo.
All right, John Bear. And again, the website, huntexpo.com. Speaking of those numbers, from 2016 that showed a decline in hunting, which is also affecting conservation, money raised, and on the back end hurting our endangered species. I want to share that conversation. It wasn't this week. It was actually last week that Lee Lonsberry had on his program with our representative, Rob Bishop. We'll share that with you when we come back on KSL Outdoors Radio.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll have Snow Day coming up after a news update on the half hour, but while we had a couple of minutes here, I wanted to revisit a conversation that, quite frankly, I didn't get a chance to listen to as it happened on the Lee Lonsberry program, live mic with Lee Lonsberry, which happens during the week every day, Monday through Friday, 12:30 until 3 in the afternoon. He was looking at some numbers in a story that was published, I believe, in the Washington Post about declining hunter numbers and the connection that has then to conservation dollars, which has a direct effect on endangered species. So he called his former boss, Rob Bishop, in to have the conversation, and Representative Bishop assured him that even though the trends nationwide may be down for hunter numbers, that is certainly not the case, which is good news here in the state of Utah.
I read a story just yesterday in the Washington Post that caught my eye, and it made me think of my former boss, Congressman Rob Bishop. The headline is this, and I'll read it to you. It says, "Hunting is slowly dying off, and that has created a crisis for the nation's many endangered species." Hunting is slowly dying off, and that has created a crisis for the nation's many endangered species. Now, to a layman, that makes no sense. How is it that if there are fewer hunters, that the endangered species are faring less well than they have in the absence of hunters? And here's the reason. It is because there is a portion of your hunting license. There's a fee associated with that, which then goes to conservation efforts. And as, you know, the practices change and hobbies change and fewer folks are getting out into the woods and hunting, it turns out that fewer fees are making their way over to these conservation efforts. Now, I had producer Amy check this out for me. I wanted to know if that remains true here in the state of Utah, and that is not the case. Here in Utah, there year over year are more hunters getting their hunting licenses than in years past. And so here in Utah, we're still a place where hunting takes place. But across the country, there's less of it happening, again, leading to fewer fees being collected for conservation efforts. So I've invited Congressman Rob Bishop here in studio to ask him essentially, how do you respond to all this and what do you make of these numbers?
If you say that hunting is dying off, in the aggregate, it may be true. It says, don't have people think that within my lifetime, no one's going to be hunting anymore. There are still millions and millions of hunters. But when they make their licenses, they buy their fish tackling stuff, they buy their ammunition, all that, there is a fee that's assessed by the federal government. About 60% of that goes to the states. The states are in charge of wildlife, and they get the federal money to help them assist with that program. And in fact, what we did in this last session, part of our lands bill, is to give states more flexibility so they can use that money to create shooting areas. They can create all sorts of education policies, programs to try and attract more people into it. But the bottom line is, over the years, it's called the Pittman-Robertson Act, done during the Great Depression era. It's produced $14 billion over those years that goes specifically to conservation. And the more we encourage hunters and encourage ammunition buys and those kind of things, the more money can go into the conservation program. Even though it's declining, it's still over $1 billion, $1.5 billion a year that goes into specifically conservation programs. If you don't do that, if you don't allow those hunters and fishers who voluntarily come up with this program to try and help out, if you don't allow that, states are going to have to cough up a whole lot more money.
Do you propose any alternatives? Do you have anything in the works that that might bolster this?
To encourage more hunters. Like I'm saying, we're doing pretty good right now. It's not going to die off immediately.
Sure.
But yeah, there have been proposals that the hunters and fishing community themselves have proposed to actually increase the amount of fees that go to that, as long as they can go to specific programs that help them out. And we did that in the last cycle. It was technically part of the lands package that we bought, although we had to juggle at a few things because it started in the Senate instead of the House, and this is a revenue-enhancing bill. So, yeah, there are some bills that we will still be dealing with. Every year there's a sportsman's package to try to encourage people to get involved with this but also allow them to do that.
Sure. We're speaking in studio to First District Congressman Rob Bishop. We're talking about there's a trend across the country. There are fewer hunters out there. Not here in Utah. We got more year over year. But across the country, fewer folks are engaging in hunting as a hobby, and that's leading to a decline in the collection of these fees, which have traditionally gone to to conservation.
So I just wanted to make sure we re-aired that and remind everyone to listen to the live mic with Lee Lonsbury Monday through Friday, 12:30 until 3 in the afternoon. And hats off to the hunters of Utah, always doing a great job for conservation in the state. We'll take a break, get your news update here on the half hour. On the other side, we'll get an avalanche report with Craig Gordon from the Utah Avalanche Center. Plus, snow day. We'll take you up to Alta, where we spent a couple of days over the weekend, and take you up for what turned out to be a beautiful day on the mountain.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.